Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Warning, the following content may contain elements that are not suitable for some audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello, kitties. This is y'all's ghoulie, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to Slasher Radio.
Hey guys, thank you very much for checking out Slasher Radio. This is your boy Bones, and we do not have a new show this week. I know. We're heading into the spooky season, you know, stuff came up and all that, and we figured we'd get it all out of the way before we hit October and all that fun stuff that is like our Christmas year as horror fans. But you know what? We figured this week we got to give you guys something, and we figured we'd give you a taste of the Patreon. Patrons obviously have already heard this content, and they will get the uncensored. Yes, there were bleeps in this one, so Patreon will get the uncensored version of this episode. But what we did here is we took two. Let me lay the groundwork. You guys have heard us talk about the Lord Humphrey Audio Entertainment, whatever the hell that thing, I forget the name of it, Rob's got going on. You've heard us mention it, and it's an extra show every week when you're signed up for the Patreon, patreon.com/slasher radio. You get a bunch of stuff. You get entered into giveaways just by being a member of the Patreon. You get Easter egg content of every episode every week, which is behind the scenes conversation of our group chats and all that stuff. We got a lot of different stuff, unboxing videos and all that stuff. So you get a lot of stuff over there. But the premier perk that you get signing up for the Patreon is an extra episode from Rob's Entertainment Network every week. And they vary. What you're going to hear this week is an episode of Sexy Time with Rob, which is where we gather questions from Twitter. People ask about relationship advice and sex advice and all that stuff. Love advice in general. And Rob answers them. And we have a lot of fun with it, as you're about to hear shortly. And also an episode of Horror Jeopardy, where we play Jeopardy. And a video version of this is available on the Patreon. Where you can see the board, you can see the questions and, you know, points and all that stuff. A little visual aspect to go along with it, with the show. And, you know, you play along. It's fun. You learn some stuff. Maybe you know some stuff. You play along and it's a good time. And we have a lot of fun doing it. And we've gotten a good response from it. Well, we have a bunch of stuff on there. We have verses where we pick a horror topic and we debate it. Killer beats where we play music for each other. Each of us get two picks. And Kat, Rob, and myself have very different tastes of music. So that's a good time. We get a listener pick in there from the patrons. We play games. And there's just a bunch of stuff on there. And you never know what you're going to get every week. And it's very interactive. So if you like me here, if you like the normal show, this is for like the hardcore fans, the real, you know, head over to Patreon and you can definitely get more of that. Tiers starting as low as $3 a month. The extra show every week you get with the fucking tier two, as we call it. So we have a lot of stuff coming up, guys. We're going to be back next week. We're working on scheduling a couple of things. Might have an announcement. Might, you know, stick around. We'll keep you informed on that. And we will catch you next week. We hope you enjoy. You go follow the show on Twitter at slasherradio.com. You can check out all of our episodes, articles, interviews, all that stuff. I'm at Mikey's Dead. Rob's at Radio Rob 123. And Kat is at Kat underscore Valor, V-O-L-E-U-R on Twitter. See you later, guys. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to the Lord Humphrey Audio Entertainment Network, and it is time for Sexy Time with Rob. I'm here with Mikey and Kat, and are you guys ready to get sexy in 2022?
Never, but we're here.
It is 2022, isn't it? Ooh,
it
man.
Is. It is.
That sucks. You know, I just realized that we're going to have a 2-22-22 February.
Oh, yeah, that'll be kind of fun. Make a wish, everybody.
Yeah.
What we're supposed to do when that bullshit happens? I don't know.
I wish I wasn't here right now. I don't like doing the sexy time with you.
You love it. You're going to love this one. It's a good time.
You make it weird.
Want a little sexy time to kick off the new year? New year, new me?
Yeah, I figured that'd be a good, you know, everybody get their love life started off 2020 going right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And what a better person to do it than you, Rob.
That's right. I help guide you the right way. Just consider me your love Sherpa.
Sure. What who is that old guy from Lord of the Rings?
Fucking Bilbo Baggins.
Yeah, Bilbo Baggins. Yeah. Are you there, love Bilbo?
Yeah, no, fuck that guy. I'll punch him in his goddamn Baggins.
Unbelievable.
That was an asshole.
I don't even know what he looks like.
He looked like a little fucking hobbit, little dickhead.
Oh my god.
So anyway. Sexy time with Rob. I know, Mikey, you put out a tweet. Did we get questions?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, we did. You're going to kick this guy's ass? That's fucked up, man.
Oh, did you look at him?
Yeah, yeah. I'll Google him. Come on.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
I'm going to make an example out of him. I'm going to send his remains to Jason Blum.
I'm sure he'll be petrified.
It's going to be you if you don't give me a Halloween in time.
Fair enough. But yeah, we got... I sent out a tweet, let people know sex time. Rob's coming down the pike. Nesto made up for missing out last time. This is going to be a very heavy Nesto episode. It's like he exploded to make up for it. So I figure we'll get a couple of his out of the way, go with some other people, and then maybe finish up with Nesto. Sound good?
That makes sense. I think most Nesto's the one most needing help, I think.
I know. And he was missing last time. So
yeah. You
know. All right. Nesto's first question is, the first kiss is always a crucial moment. What do you say to explain yourself when she wakes up during it?
Be careful how you answer this.
That, I mean, if she wakes up, that's on you. First of all, that's a rookie mistake.
Oh my God.
Secondly, what do you say? The best answer you could really give in that sort of situation. Oh, sorry, I slipped. That's really all you can do, right? And then just try and move past as fast as you can.
Blame the socks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't have my what are they called, Mikey?
The clap cleats or something like that.
Clap cleats on. Yeah, I didn't have those on. Wearing my normal horror socks. I slipped, and our lips bounced off each other. My bad.
My lips bad.
And then go back. You're not doing it right. It is tough to get it right. You. That's a problem.
I can imagine. So is this something you picked up during your whole cult fiasco?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
My lawyer has advised me not to.
Okay.
Slasher Radio is going to need a lawyer after this.
Thank God we have a behind a paywall is a beautiful thing.
It's fine. It's an advice column. That's all.
Yeah. It's not, I guess he can hide behind that, which is dangerous. He's like, he's not telling you to do it. It's advice.
That's right.
All right. Another one from Nesto is, is it cheating if you hook up with your girlfriend's mom?
Yes.
Is it cheating?
Is it cheating if you hook up with your girlfriend's mom, or is it winning the game?
Well, if you're going to answer your own question, don't even ask, Nesto. That's winning, babe.
That's not winning. That's starting a game of life or death, Nesto. That's taking your life into your own hands.
That is living your best life is what that is, my friend.
Okay. Trying to be as impartial as I can be. I see both sides of this. No, you can't do that. Like, again, I see the allure in this and why you would want to, but the risk cannot be worth the reward most of the time.
Depends on how hot the mom is, right?
But most,
I mean, that's the X factor.
Yeah.
I've never been with a woman and been like, you know who's hot though? Her mom. Like, what the fuck?
Just saying.
Again, I can see why, but no. That's dangerous. Like Kat said, you're playing a very dangerous game here.
Well, you know, if there's not a little risk, it ain't no fun.
Might end up losing your pecker over all of it. So, I mean, you know, be careful, Nesto.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, be careful, but, you know, have fun too, my friend.
All right, we'll get one more Nesto in here. He said, what's the appropriate order in which you introduce her to the Dirty Sanchez and the Mississippi Birdbath?
All right, I don't know what any of that means.
I don't know what the birdbath is.
You know, that's a tough question to answer, because it's sometimes it's best just, you know, first date, lay it all out there, right? But then other times it's best to take it kind of slow. You got to kind of gauge the woman. So I don't know. I can't help you with everything.
Should we look up what these things mean to me?
No, I'm not. I'm not. You do it if you want.
I can do it if you want, and we'll figure out. I mean, because I don't know what the second one is. Hold on. Let me see if we should even.
All right. I ain't Googling it.
The second one's not, I guess this kind of answers the question. I really don't think the second one's as bad as the first one. I don't think it's anything you want in your Google history, right?
That's too late now.
All right, well, fuck.
Wow. Okay. Well, the first one, the Dirty Sanchez, I'm unfortunately familiar. It involves a turd and a mustache.
Okay.
We can move right on past
that. Don't like that one at all?
No. The Mississippi birdbath is apparently filling a Southern girl's mouth with Kool-Aid, making her get on her knees with her mouth open and you dip your ball in.
Oh. I'm sorry, a Southern girl? I didn't realize it was specified.
I guess it's from the Mississippi. Rob goes, oh.
Yeah, no, that sounds enjoyable.
Wait, so if you do it in the North, like...
You do it wrong.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
All right. What, so I don't know, Nesto. You, instead of worrying about all this, you need to call somebody for help.
I see. You know what these things are like?
I don't know. I don't know what Nesto does with his free time. I'm learning too much about the man right now.
Apparently, he makes a lot of Kool-Aid.
Making a lot of Kool-Aids and traveling through the South.
That is hysterical to me. Oh my God, I'm so upset I didn't know what all this was. That is funny. Wow. Okay. How long should he take to introduce them to that, his acquaintances to that, Rob?
Well, I think the bird bath thing you can do almost right away. That's just fantastic.
How you meet.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing, I mean, that's just disgusting, you freak. And I would never, ever mention any of that to anyone. You're foul.
I can't believe this, but I agree with Rob.
Yeah.
He said the first one you can do right away.
Yeah, I mean, assuming you've got a Southern girl and some Kool-Aid, then you're good to go.
You just show up to picnics in the South with Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Hope for the best.
show up at the fucking at the park and oh yeah, like who gave these things names though? Like
I don't
who
know.
Did it enough to where they had to come up with a term for it?
I don't know. And it's in the South, so you know it was probably a family reunion.
Probably. Oh, yeah. God. Dirty Southern animals. Wow. I don't know how to I wish that was last. I wish I knew what Mississippi Birdbath was. That is funny. All right. So next up is a question from Nate. And I like this a lot.
Oh, okay.
He said, how do I explain to my wife what the hell sexy time with Rob is?
Oh, you should let her hear the show, Nate. Ooh. Maybe she'll learn some stuff about Birdbath.
Maybe don't start with this episode.
Well, she's, you know, your wife could really benefit from the knowledge of the Mississippi Birdbath and Braided Thrust. You know,
only if she's from the South. Yeah. Though,
and knowing what's going on. I mean, you know, as far as explaining it to her, you just tell her that Rob lifts people up. And with this show, what I really like and what I like the thing about you and talking to your wife about it is because I feel like I can lift the both of you up and bring you together as a couple to make your marriage better just by knowing me. I think that's the best way to explain the show to her is just let her hear it and tell her about how I lift people up.
I think you were wrong there. I think Nate would be the one that benefits from the Mississippi bird bath. I don't know how much his wife benefits.
Look, I don't know what people are into. All right.
Someone had a similar question to that. I forget who it was and what it was. It was an alteration of that, but it's like, yeah, man, what the hell are you? Oh, Kat, it was you.
Was it me?
Yeah, what? You were like, you didn't know how to explain to your boyfriend what you got to go record sexy time with Rob.
Yeah, he told me one day he was thinking about signing up for the Patreon, and I was like, I don't think so. I don't think you need to do that.
He can be on the Patreon if he wants.
I don't know. There's a chance he'd listen to the show.
We can have him as a guest here on Sexy Time with Rob, and I give him some advice.
Rob, one day, Kat's going to get a text from her boyfriend and be like, Mississippi Birdbath, huh?
It's okay, I'm not Southern, so
oh,
I'm
shit,
safe.
That's right. Yeah. That is funny. All right, so there you go, Nate. Don't tell her about it. Just don't even mention it. If she asks, tell her it's anything but what it is.
Yeah, be like, I'm cheating on you, watching porn.
Yeah.
Like normal things. I wouldn't admit to watching this show.
Share the knowledge, Nate. It's fine.
He'll just have to cue it up to that last question from Nesto, and she won't ask any questions. Well, he is watching porn.
Can you imagine the interaction, though, where it's like, hey, sweetie, what are you doing? Have you ever heard of Mississippi Birdbath?
I can't wait to use that. Like, I'm truly, truly looking forward to it. That's going to be fantastic.
Mikey's next Tinder date is going to be exciting.
Yeah, right. Use it as my Tinder name. All right, IR Chris. This might be something else we gotta Google, and I'm afraid of this one.
But no, nothing that Chris says that has to be Googled can be good.
No, it's not. Chris said, "How much fiber is too much when preparing a Tokyo sandblaster?"
Don't even know. What? No, I don't even know what that means.
Off to Google. Let's see.
I don't like having to Google these questions.
I know.
I'm making it too complicated now. Come on.
Apparently it was developed by Conan O'Brien.
Oh, yeah. I like Conan O'Brien. He's funny.
It is defined when one person has diarrhea and they place their ass close to their partner's face. Oh, Lord.
Nope.
Something about pressing their cheeks together. I'm not reading the rest of that. What the hell?
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Again, I hate to say it. I hate that it's happened twice this episode, but I agree with Rob.
Guys, I feel like Sexy Time with Rob has gone south. We might have to cancel this show.
Yeah.
Mississippi Birdbath South, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, this is getting really graphic and bad.
But knowing Chris, that might be a real problem he has, to be fair.
That he shits in people's faces?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I don't know about your fiber intake, Chris. Like, I don't know what a good amount of fiber would be for that.
I'd say like whatever amount of fiber they have in professional help facilities, maybe.
Because right. You want to say like, none.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's kind of what, yeah. To do it, you know, there has to be a level of fiber.
Huh. Yeah. It's a balancing act. It's like when you're drugging a girl. It's a balancing act.
Oh, my God.
Lord. How is it, Kat, that like these questions that we've been getting isn't the worst thing said on the show?
Why? How I know. Is it that of all the stuff that's being said, me talking about is the one thing that upsets you guys the most?
Well,
I don't know which
I
answer
feel like
to give.
That's self-explanatory.
All right. Well, I'm just saying we've all done it, right?
No. No.
Yeah, can we move on to something else?
Yeah, please.
I don't want to think about Chris's shits. I'm sure you're fine, Chris. Just keep doing what you're doing, buddy.
Or don't.
All right. Jesus. Next up is from Joel. And he said, "Dear Rob, how do I find love again after having to deal with the whole hand scandal of 2021? If you remember Rob, Joel from last Sexy Time with Rob.
No, I don't know what he's talking about.
He What's took his wife's hand in marriage and
oh,
literally, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, I don't know why you got to find love if you still got your wife's hand. You're good. But
we can just call it there, right?
Like, yeah. I mean, suppose you do want to find love, right? I can help you out with that a little bit. Here's what a lot of people, Joel, no, what's his name?
It's Joel.
Joel. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will tell you that, you know, when you meet somebody, then just be yourself, right? That's, you hear that all the time. That's how you know, you be yourself. If you really want to, if you meet somebody you like and then they'll like you for who you are, right? That's bullshit. Don't ever be yourself. And this is not just for Joel, this is for everybody. Don't be yourself. You're terrible. No one will ever love you if you are the way that you are. So you have to lie and hide yourself and conceal your real personality and who you really are forever and ever and ever. Because if they find out, they will leave you. And that's the key to happiness, Joel.
Wow.
Is that the key to the happiness or the key to relationships?
The key to long-lasting love.
Okay, because after this episode, I'm starting to think the key to happiness is just being alone.
Yeah, right.
It could be. Yeah, could also be not being on this episode. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I think Kat was right. We should have cut it off at the you got the hand thing.
Okay.
Would have been probably suffice. Especially, I think we brought up a microwave last episode with the hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that rings a bell, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So be yourself, Joel.
No, don't, Joel, you're terrible. Don't.
Take one hand, man. Take one hand.
Yeah.
That you know, come to think of it, how dare you criticize poor Joel? You told Kat to take a pinky.
That's different.
A whole hand that was, with a pinky?
Yeah, that was something completely different. That was a cute way to bring a sword into the engagement.
Yeah, and you can function better without a pinky than like if you take the whole hand, it's a little bit greedy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Plus then you take the whole hand and then she got a hook. You don't be fucking around with somebody with a hook.
No, you can't perform a Mississippi bird bath with a hook. Mm-mm. I wouldn't imagine.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so that's a good point. All right, you're right.
Yeah. A pinky, you can do all sorts of weird shit without a pinky.
All right, so Joel's good with the hand. Then. Cool. All right, next up, I think we're back to Nesto. Here's
Scared.
A simple. Yeah, I know. Here's a simpler one for Nesto. It's a little on the tame side. What's a flavor of edible underwear that they don't make, but they should?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Flavor of edible underwear that they don't make, but they should. Huh.
If it helps at all, Chris commented on that and said,
I'm sure it doesn't.
He said guacamole.
That's terrible. I don't like guacamole, though, so. Sort of out on that. What do you guys have any ideas?
See, I would think blueberry, but they probably have that already.
They might. I don't know.
What about like Olive Garden breadsticks? Like,
holy shit!
No. I got it. Mayonnaise.
Oh, come on.
Mayonnaise flavor. Yeah, that's good.
I like mayonnaise, but it's not like you don't eat mayonnaise alone.
Yeah, you don't eat just like a spoonful of mayonnaise.
You're not really going to be eating this alone either. You know what I'm saying?
Son of a bitch bastard.
It's just a condiment. That's all.
Well, we know you're going to be against ketchup. So, I mean, that's
for children. Yeah, that's disgusting, Mikey. How dare you?
I'm sorry. What about I like the breadsticks idea. Mayonnaise, no, that's gross. What about like Doritos? They got Doritos flavored everything.
Oh my God, yeah. That's it.
The most of Doritos flavored stuff isn't very good though.
Doritos Locos Taco Bell?
I don't like them. Don't care for the Doritos Locos Tacos.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Stevie would be mad at you.
Stevie like a Doritos Locos Taco?
Seen him pound back quite a few of them things, boy.
Yeah,
I could understand not liking the texture of a Doritos Locos Tacos, but it's kind of worth putting up with because it tastes like a Dorito. So,
yeah, I don't. There's something about them that doesn't work for me. I don't know why. Yeah, that's my answer. My answer is mayonnaise. I think that you want to go with the condiment flavor. You know, mayonnaise would be good. Maybe relish.
I think Pat won this one with the Olive Garden breadsticks.
A sauerkraut.
Relish.
Oh, fuck. Why are you thinking of terrible things?
I don't know.
All right. Next, I hope that helped. See, the problem is we don't know what they have.
Right. Yeah. There could be mayonnaise edibles underwear out there. I don't know. Yeah.
Olive Garden might be different in Europe also. We don't know what's going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if Olive Garden did put those out one day. It's like, Kat, you might be able to sue. That'd be badass.
Have you guys tried either one of you had that Italian margarita?
No.
At Olive Garden?
Still not correctly, no.
Okay. Good stuff.
Also, speaking of Olive Garden, if they had a stuffed mushroom, like their stuffed mushroom flavored underwear, I'd go to town on that too.
I never had those stuffed mushrooms at Olive Garden. They're good?
Amazing. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Here's a questionable question from Nesto.
Surprise, surprise. Okay.
Yeah. He said, how do you talk dirty to a deaf chick?
Ooh. All right. So like a real life thing. Yeah.
Ghost, I don't know if this will help you at all, Rob. She commented on this and said, isn't that all about finger placement?
I think she's right. Yeah. Yeah. The good thing about that is all the childish, dirty gestures that you've ever learned really come in handy during that time. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's that complicated, really. You know, I mean, if the hand gestures don't work, and all that sort of thing, you could always play Pictionary. That's a good time.
Pictionary.
Yeah. Everybody likes to do that. Yeah, I don't know. You'll find a way to make it work.
Okay.
You know, I mean, the beauty of it is you can say anything. She ain't gonna know.
Okay, that's fair. I don't know. Yeah, the Braille thing. Ghost brings up a good point. Yeah, that's fair.
Well, Braille's for blind people.
Oh yeah, I'm high. Don't mind me. Jesus Christ. All right, so where the hell is? I think we only got one more question here.
Okay, good. Thank God.
Where did it go?
I'm getting exhausted by these questions.
I know. Nestor's still talking about an avocado. Okay, here we go. This is the final question. It's from Nesto. And he said, why was my anal ring toss game such a dud as a stocking stuffer? At least it wasn't Peeps.
No, he's right. That would be a better gift than Peeps. Peeps suck.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It depends on, I mean, we don't have enough information to really, you know, evaluate the situation here, right? Because we don't know who he gave the gift to.
That is true.
You know, like, because you give that
in-laws, bad idea.
Right. You give that to your girlfriend. I don't know. Maybe she's just a prude. I don't know. You give it to grandpa, then yeah, it's kind of fucking weird, right?
Okay. There was a little back and forth on this.
Okay.
IR Chris threw, he threw his expertise in the ring. And he said, the reason for this is you didn't include the safety ring. For the rods and the anal dockage has resulted in sticks up everybody's ass.
All right. Thanks, Chris. for that turn of phrase, anal dockage. I appreciate that.
Again, not the worst term mentioned on this show. I mean, Chris might have found the answer. He might be an expert in this department here. Because Nesta replied with damn dollar store shit. So maybe that's the problem.
Could be it. Well, could be it, you know. If anybody knows about anal ring toss, it's Chris, I guess.
I just picture it. Chris has like a anal ring toss ring, like an underground. People are spending hundreds of thousands betting on asshole rings and stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a fun episode, wasn't it?
Anyway, thanks for listening to the last episode of Sexy
Time. It's the horror theme of the podcast, I think, is what I'm getting at. But we learned a lot, you know.
Too much.
Never be yourself. Don't be yourself ever at all. Once they know who you really are, they will leave you. And also,
and they like Kool-Aid a little bit too much in the South.
Yeah. Also, Kool-Aid is popular in the South. And you know, be careful when you're.
Oh my God.
Or the man, I guess.
I'm just glad. I'm very thankful for the Mississippi thing. That
made your night, didn't it?
Dude, I had such a fuck of an incredible, horrible day. That made up for a good amount of it right there. That was great.
All right. Well, see, once again, I'm lifting people up.
I can't wait to talk to Let It Hang. Thank you. Oh, shit. All right. So I hope everybody had their love life straightened out a little bit.
As we head into 2022. And that'll be the last episode ever of Sexy Time with Rob. Thanks for ruining it, guys.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello and welcome to the Lord Humphrey Audio Entertainment Network. My name is Rob Humphrey, and I am joined by Kat Valor and Mikey Bones. Guys, how we doing?
Hey there, nervous.
Oi!
Oh, God. Forgot about the fucking oi. What are you nervous about?
There keep being elaborate trivia games sprung on me when I'm drunk.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like this was a trap. It was like, I'll start drinking a little bit early, and then Mikey's like, I need more time, and then I got really wasted, and then he's like, Jeopardy board!
Yes, we're going to be playing Horror Jeopardy. This was Mikey's idea. Before we get to that, though, I had something I wanted to bring up, and I'm only bringing it up here because I don't know where else to bring it up.
Okay.
But I really wanted to mention it.
Uh-oh.
Are you guys familiar with Hunter S. Thompson?
Vaguely.
No.
All right. Okay. No, not at all, Mikey?
No.
All right. Have you seen the movie Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jesus, Mikey.
Why? I'm making this difficult.
All right. Well, Hunter S. Thompson was a writer/journalist, and he probably did more drugs than any person ever in his 67 years that he was on this earth.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And this has been making the news, and I have no idea why. It's from a 1994 book called Hunter, the Strange and Savage Life of Hunter S. Thompson. And it was written by E. Jean Carroll. Have you guys seen Thompson's daily routine?
Mm-mm.
All right. No. Well, she spent some time with Hunter S. Thompson while she was writing this book, apparently. And she made notes of what a general day would look like in the life of Hunter S. Thompson. And I find this fascinating. So I wanted to run through this with you guys and see how far into the day do you think you would make it if you were hanging out with Hunter S. Thompson? So we start at 3 p.m. That's when he wakes up.
With it so far.
Okay. At 3:05, he has a Chivas Regal with a morning paper and smoked cigarettes.
Chivas. Wow.
All right.
3:45, cocaine.
Ooh.
All right.
Well, you got to get your day started, right?
Yes.
3:50, another glass of Chivas and a cigarette.
Oh.
4:05.
This is a lot more cigarettes and Coke than I usually do, but
4:05, a cup of coffee and a cigarette.
All right.
4:15, cocaine. 4:16, orange juice and a cigarette.
Oh.
4:30, wow. Cocaine.
Damn.
I don't know about this.
4:54, cocaine.
Here's the thing is, I've never done cocaine. I don't know how many times I could do it before I would just die. I have no frame of reference for this.
I've tried cocaine a couple times.
Yeah.
First of all, I didn't like it. Second of all, I was very young. That's not something I do now. But I couldn't imagine doing it that often. It's like, this is wild.
At 5:05, cocaine.
Okay.
At 5:11, a cup of coffee and a cigarette.
I'm liking these ones with coffee in them. I think that's what's keeping me going at this point.
At 5:30, he puts more ice in his glass of Chivas.
Okay.
At 5:45, there's more cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
At 6 o'clock, he smokes some pot to take the edge off the day.
Okay.
It makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
Part makes sense.
At 7:05, he would head to the Woody Creek Tavern for lunch, which consisted of a Heineken, 2 margaritas, coleslaw, a taco salad, a double order of fried onion rings, carrot cake, ice cream, a bean fritter, cigarettes, another Heineken, more cocaine, and for the ride home, he had what he called a snow cone, which is a glass of shredded ice with Chivas poured over the top of it.
I'm tapped out at this point. Coleslaw makes me sick even when I'm sober.
Yeah.
I think with all this cocaine and stuff in my system, I'm not going to do well with that.
Now, at 9 p.m., he starts snorting cocaine seriously.
Seriously?
Okay.
What's a non-serious amount of cocaine? Because the police don't give a fuck. It's a felony nonetheless. Yeah.
Well, what he was doing before, that was not serious. Now it's serious. Okay. At 10 p.m., he drops acid.
Oh.
At 11 p.m., he has a chartreuse, some more cocaine, and some more pot. And I looked up what a chartreuse is, and I don't remember. But I believe it was some sort of liqueur, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, my God.
At 11:30, more cocaine. At midnight, Hunter S. Thompson is ready to write. From midnight to 6 a.m., it's just a flurry of chartreuse, cocaine, marijuana, Chivas, coffee, Heineken, clove cigarettes, grapefruit, more regular cigarettes, orange juice, gin, and a continuous loop of pornographic movies. 6 a.m., it's time for the hot tub, where he has champagne, Dove bars, and fettuccine Alfredo.
Dang it! I wish I'd made it that far.
Right?
How the fuck... Honestly, if I eat fettuccine Alfredo, I'm on a toilet. After all that, alcohol, drugs, everything? Oh my God.
And then at 8 a.m., he takes some Halcyon. At 8:20, he goes to sleep.
Also, chartreuse is a French herbal liquor, which I don't like.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think I would like that either.
I don't like the word herbal being.
Yeah. Yeah. I found that interesting. I love Hunter S. Thompson. He's one of my favorite writers. I've read almost all of his books. I think he's a fantastic writer. And so anyway,
that
was his day. Yep. He sadly committed suicide at the age of 67, and he is quoted as once saying, "I hate to advocate drugs, alcohol, violence, or insanity to anyone, but they've always worked for me."
All right.
So that is Hunter S. Thompson. And yeah, Mikey, if you, I would recommend, highly, highly recommend reading the book Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Mikey's not going to do that.
Yeah. The movie is okay. It kind of completely misses the point of the book.
Is it about this guy's life?
Well, sort of. Everything that he wrote was about him. He had a style called gonzo journalism. So he would write all of his articles and everything, all of his books from the first person perspective. And he would just insert himself into whatever story he was covering. He did a lot of sports and a lot of politics. But Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is his most famous thing. It's about a trip that he took to Las Vegas. Well, actually, two trips he took to Las Vegas because he thought he was leaving and then got called to go back. With his lawyer, or actually, it wasn't his lawyer. It's a lawyer. In the book, he calls him his lawyer, but I don't think it was his lawyer. I think the guy was a lawyer. And holy God, do they do a lot of drugs.
Clearly.
Yeah. And he also wrote a great book called Hell's Angels, which is about, I think he spent about a year or so hanging out with the Hell's Angels in San Francisco before he pissed them off and they beat the shit out of him with bicycle chains and he had to get out of there.
Beat the shit out of him. Yeah. Well, if he's on that much drugs, he didn't even know that was happening.
Yeah.
To be fair. He just woke up feeling really bad about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, he was known to... He ended up settling in Woody Creek, Colorado, and I'm not sure. I think it's just outside Aspen somewhere, but I'm not 100% certain on that. And his neighbors would often complain because he would run out into his backyard naked and firing his shotgun into the air for no reason other than the fact that he thought it was fun.
God damn.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. So anyway, he's a lot of fun. The other thing I wanted to bring up before we played Horror Jeopardy is I don't know if you guys saw this story. But UDish has compiled, or US Dish, sorry, has compiled a list of America's favorite Stephen King movies by state.
Oh, nice.
Did you see that?
No.
Yeah. Huh. I will tell you right now that absolutely no one got it right because Maximum Overdrive isn't on anyone's state.
Maximum freaking Overdrive.
So let's see. Indiana was the Shawshank Redemption. Ohio also the Shawshank Redemption.
Cat. Nice.
And Mikey, New York was Misery.
Okay. I mean, kind of weird, but all right.
Yeah.
All right.
Misery came up in a couple of places. Arizona, California, Missouri, Montana, New Mexico, New York, Virginia, and Wisconsin.
Oh. Huh.
Anyway, it's kind of an interesting little list to look at, I guess.
All right. That's fair. New York is really? Okay. That's a strange one.
Yeah.
All right.
So there we go. Those, a couple of things. I didn't know where to bring those up, so I thought I would throw them in here, especially the Hunter S. Thompson thing. That doesn't make any sense anywhere in our show, but I really wanted to talk about it just because I really like Hunter S. Thompson.
Somehow it does, though. You know what I'm saying? Bit. At the same time. Yeah. Where'd that come from, by the way?
Well, it's from a book. And like I said, the book is from like whatever, 94 or 98 or something when she released this book. And it's been in the news, though. And I don't know why. I mean, you can, if you just search Hunter S. Thompson's daily routine, there's a lot of stories about it all of a sudden. I don't know why.
Huh.
All right. That's fair.
All right. Are you ready to play Horror Jeopardy, Mikey? You're our Alex Trebek.
Okay, fair enough.
Or whoever the new host is. I don't know. I haven't watched Jeopardy in years. So.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad
his
you said
name
that.
Is new Alex Trebek.
Yeah, right. Shout out to Alex Trebek. He passed away recently, and my grandmother is like the biggest Jeopardy fan in the world. So she loves Alex Trebek, loves Jeopardy. We're going to play a little Jeopardy here. Yeah, horror All Jeopardy. Right. Why not?
All right.
This also will be coming with a visual. For our anybody who's listening to this is a Patreon member, so here we go.
All right, who goes first?
Well, that was the thing. I'm gonna flip a coin. I do have a quarter here. Someone call heads, someone call tails. This is how we're doing, Super Bowl style.
You call a cat.
Tails.
Tails never fails. Heads, Rob. All right, Rob. Pick one out of the category.
All right, let's go with Universal Monsters for 100.
Okay, before we go into this, anyone who maybe might not want to be listening to the watching this titles are slashers, paranormal, horror comedy, remakes, and Universal Monsters.
Yes, yes. And also, did you write these questions?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, well, found most. So,
I was gonna say that feels like it might be important.
Yeah. Universal Monsters for 100. In 1931, this character never once blinks his eyes, an effect that enhances the undead character's otherworldly aura and famous menacing stare. But you don't have to point at yourself, Rob. But
it just does that. I don't know how to do that.
Okay.
Who is Dracula?
Dracula. That is correct. Dracula. 1931. I thought you were pulling a Zoom thing.
No, it just does that. When I buzzed in, it just did that. I don't know how to work this platform. I barely know how to work Zoom to do it.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair. All right. Bada boom.
All right.
Rob?
Let's go to Slashers for 100.
Slashers for 100. By the way, I'll go through this first. For this mid-80s slasher film, the director reportedly planned to have a stuntman play the now famous antagonist, but wisely opted to go with an accomplished actor and for the role instead.
We're looking for the movie name?
Movie name, character name. It's a slasher. So.
What is A Nightmare on Elm Street?
Nightmare on Elm Street. Rob on fire here.
Rob's doing great.
My goodness. What I was going to say was some of these, I don't know if they're too difficult. That's one I thought that might have been. But
clearly not.
Rob's on it. Yeah.
Right. So thank God, right? We wouldn't even have Robert Englund.
Yeah. And that could have been Kane Hodder.
Oh, fuck. Oh, no. We wouldn't even know of Nightmare on Elm Street today. Yeah.
Let's go with Paranormal for 100.
Okay. Paranormal film is the second most profitable film of all time.
Is it Paranormal Activity? What is Paranormal Activity? Form of a question.
That's right. Paranormal Activity it is. Behind only the Blair Witch Project.
All right.
Jesus Christ, Rob. Okay. Where are we going now?
Let's do horror comedy for 100.
Comedy for 100. Several characters' names in this horror comedy references classic horror films. For instance, Doc Halloran is a mashup of Jack Torrance's nickname Doc and Dick Halloran in The Shining, Jamie being referenced to Jamie Lee Curtis from Halloween and Prom Night. It's also Zelda Rubinstein's last film.
Damn it.
You didn't answer, Rob.
I got nothing. I don't know who Doc Halloran is.
Okay. Kat,
I know that name. That name sticks
out. I know
out,
who Doc but... Halloran is, but I don't know the answer to the question.
See, this was one I thought I might have... Oh, Kat?
Have a guess?
Go for it.
Is there guessing in Jeopardy?
It's your
answer.
Are
there wild leaps?
It's your answer.
What is Poltergeist?
What is Poltergeist is correct. Oh, fuck. Oh, wait, no. Oh, it was wrong. Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm thinking of the wrong one. Yeah. Behind the Mask of the Rise of Leslie Vernon. Rob, you did this.
I didn't even remember that was a.
Yeah.
That
I remembered the name, but I could. I remembered the character name, but I couldn't place it. Like, I couldn't think of what movie it was from.
Yeah. Well, there it is.
There we go.
Yeah, that was one of the ones I thought was difficult, but the Leslie Vernon thing, Rob, I was worried this would favor you because you recently discussed this on This Our Life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep.
And it's a great movie. I couldn't place the character.
I thought the Zelda Rubinstein would have been the de facto.
I honestly don't even remember her being in that movie.
I don't remember her being in that either.
She was in there. Kat, let's have Kat pick one since Rob's been running amok here.
Rob's doing great. I'm drunk out of my fucking mind. I'll take remakes for 100 though.
That's for 100. For this remake, Adrian King was approached by the producers to do a cameo during this film in pre-production. A few days later, the producers called her back and told her they didn't want anyone from the original film to appear in this remake.
Oh, and I'm looking for the film. What is Friday the 13th?
This Friday the 13th is correct. All right. Friday the 13th, 2009. Why would they not want that? You know?
Adrian Were they trying King? To protect the cast of Friday the 13th?
Maybe, but still, man, damn. Kind of dumb to me.
But see, I don't really necessarily believe them either, because they approached Betsy Palmer about playing her role.
Did they?
Yeah, and she said the script was crap and she wasn't doing it. Oh, or wait, maybe I'm thinking of Freddy versus Jason for that. I don't know.
Kat, where are we going?
You know what? I'll stick with remakes for 200.
When the actor behind this slasher for this remake was asked what put him in the right mindset to play the character, he said, "While sitting in makeup chair for 3 hours, after that you feel like you can kill someone." This one was one of the more difficult ones. Let me read the full one. I think that they have a shortener on here, like so much text can fit. So let me read the full thing that I had. When the actor behind the slasher for this remake was asked what put him in the mindset to play the character, he said, "Sitting in the makeup chair for 3 hours, after that, I feel like you can kill someone." Okay, so it was just a couple words I left out. What's someone with a lot of makeup, Kat, in a remake?
I'm going to guess Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street is correct. 2010. I'd imagine that's gotta suck.
That's the only slasher I could think of. Oh, I'm sorry. What is Nightmare on Elm Street 2010?
Nothing. I like nothing about that movie.
I like nothing about you.
Wow. Out of nowhere.
You never hear the contestants on Jeopardy say that shit to Alex Trebek, did they?
No. And it would have been awesome. You should be ashamed of yourself. I deserve to be treated. I'm not even going to say that. Alex Trebek was a legend. I don't deserve to be treated with anything of his. Kat, where are we going?
What is? Oh, my God. I'll take horror comedy for 200.
Horror comedy for 200. This horror comedy that Quentin Tarantino dubbed one of the top 20 movies made since 1992. George A. Romero was so impressed with the work done on this film that he asked if he could do a cameo as a zombie in Land of the Dead.
I can guess, but I don't feel confident about this.
Okay.
What is Shaun of the Dead?
Shaun of the Dead is correct. Shaun of the Dead 2004. That's high praise. I didn't know that film had that kind of praise to it.
I will say I misread it at first, so I thought I was looking specifically for a zombie movie, and then when I reread the question, it didn't say that, and I was like, fuck. Because there are a lot of horror comedies that have been made since then. But I stuck with Shaun of the Dead, and I'm glad I did, because, you know, excellent horror comedy.
That it is. Kat, where are we going now?
I don't feel confident about this, but let's do Paranormal for 200.
Paranormal for 200. This was one of the ones that I shortened. Hang on, let me read the full one. That font thing really pissed me off. For years, it was rumors circulated that this paranormal movie was to be filmed in the actual house of the original events, but the production team was too frightened to film inside the house. But in reality, the town denied the American International Pictures permission to film any scenes whatsoever in blank, name of the town, in an attempt to distance themselves from the publicity.
What is the Amityville Horror?
Amityville Horror is correct. That's one town. They really don't want to deal with any of the shit.
It's because nothing will ever be as good as Amityville Shark.
Why do you? We're moving on. Kat, where are we going? That was mean. I should deduct points for that.
Do we still have Rob?
Yeah, Rob, where are you?
Rob's still here?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
I'll take a Universal Monsters for 200.
But this 1941 role as this titular character in Lon Chaney Jr.'s makeup took 6 hours to apply and 3 hours to remove. You know which one this is, Kat?
Me?
Yes.
What is the Wolfman?
The Wolfman is correct. Oops, I took points away. Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Okay, I gave him that. That was for the shark thing. See? That was for the shark thing. Yeah, that sucks, man. That's one. That's always something I've been very impressed with actors, just sitting in that fucking chair, man.
Yeah, that's going to be no fun.
No, fuck that. All right, Kat, what are we doing?
Slashers 200.
Slashers 200. The antagonist of this slasher film was too young to see their own movie when it was released in theaters.
Oh, a slasher film. Fuck.
Mm-hmm. What are we doing, Kat? What is it? You know it.
What is Trick or Treat?
Incorrect.
Wrong. Mm. That, what is Sleepaway Camp?
Correct. Man, that's got to suck, though. You can't see your own shit in theaters. Imagine?
That's rough. Yeah.
Wow. I think she was only like...
I mean, it makes sense, but...
Like 15 or something when they made that movie?
I think that's what I read. 13
or something? I don't remember. Yeah. All right. All right.
Mr. Humphrey.
Universal Monsters for 300.
Ballsy. Though he starred as the iconic horror character, the monster in this 1931 film, Boris Karloff, was considered such an anonymous actor by Universal that he was not invited to the December 6th premiere of this film. Rob.
What is Frankenstein?
You know what? I don't fucking remember. It was. Yes. Okay. I don't know how to approve it without it kind of going into the next phase. So I'm looking at my cheat sheet. Yeah. Frankenstein. Correct. I didn't know. See, like, that was another one. I was like, are they going to know this? Like, it's fucking hard.
Let's do slashers for 300.
The appearance for this antagonist in this slasher film was very similar. Some say directly taken from the killer from The Town That Dreaded Sundown, 1976.
What is Friday the 13th Part 2?
Holy shit, Mr. Hump. Honestly, that's correct. Honestly, I didn't know if it would work. Like, if you guys would know that one. Wow, impressed. I'd never noticed that. Directly taken, practically.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Let's do Paranormal for 300.
Stephen King once mentioned that the only novel that he wrote that really scared him was this paranormal film.
What is The Shining?
I checked my cheat sheet, but I think that is incorrect. That is incorrect, Rob.
Damn it.
Kat?
Oh, wow.
Can you steal?
What is Salem's Lot?
Nope. That is incorrect. Pet Cemetery.
Really?
Pet Cemetery.
All right.
Stephen King is sissy.
Little baby boy. Yeah. Jesus. I thought Rob had it with The Shining.
That's why I had it. I'm like, wait a minute, was it The Shining?
That sounds right.
Right, right. All right, Kat, what are we doing here? Where are we going?
I'll take remakes for 300.
300. On this remake's official MySpace page,
oh, God.
The director announced that the film's trailer will be shown with the double featured of film Grindhouse.
What is Death Proof?
Incorrect. Rob Humphrey.
What is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
That is also incorrect. It is Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Oh, wow.
I this was another one that I thought was hard, but I was like, he seems like the Grindhouse and Rob Zombie would do some shit on MySpace, you know? All right, Rob, where are we going?
Let's do horror comedy for 300.
This 2010 horror comedy film, which was shelved for over 3 years before it was finally released, the line, "I'm going to shove my boot down his fucking throat," is the first and only time you will hear one half of this duo swear in the film.
Ooh, I had to buzz in. What is Tucker and Dale versus Evil?
That is correct.
I do not remember that line.
I don't either, but I couldn't think of another horror comedy that had a duo. So
that's why I threw it in there.
Yeah, that was context clues. Good.
Yeah, yeah. That's a hard one. The only memorable line was the "Are you okay?" from the wood chipper. I'm not gonna lie.
Goddamn funny. Yeah.
You okay? So funny.
Oh damn it, that movie's
we've
hilarious.
Got your friend.
yeah, we got your friend.
I was honestly considering buying the DVD just to see the other side of the you had told me about that, Rob.
Yeah, Tucker and Dale Are Evil. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to see that.
Let's do Universal Monsters for 400.
The poster for this 1932 film holds the record for the most money paid for a movie poster at an auction. More than $453,500. Damn.
What is The Mummy?
Cheat sheet time. This is not that drinking was not accounted for, but that is correct, Rob. Okay. The Mummy 19. Who the fuck would spend that? The Universal, man. People mean that shit.
Yeah, those are good movies.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure about that one, though, because that doesn't seem like it. That seems more like something somebody would pay a ton for, Dracula or Frankenstein.
Yeah.
You know,
Mummy's up Mummy. There, though.
But I was like, all right, Dracula and Frankenstein came out in 31. What the hell came out after that?
All right.
There's a Brendan Fraser fan out there somewhere really disappointed.
Hey, we're not going to talk bad about those Mummy. Those are the last good Mummy movies made.
Did you not see the one with Tom Cruise?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, are we really going to shit on The Mummy? For real, though? Not the Tom Cruise one's terrible.
Right, first of all, the only good one with Brendan Fraser is that first one.
Yeah.
The other ones aren't one was good.
The Scorpion King was terrible. Second one, there was the guy, Benny, who kept fucking around. He was like, guess who's on the other side of the water? I laugh every time. Anyway, Rob, where are we going?
Remakes, 400.
Makes 400. The antagonist for this remake wanted to make sure his performance was convincing. In order for this movie to be as effective as the book and the original, I have to scare a whole new generation. Blank functions very simply. Nothing much is going on terms of what he is thinking. He's animalistic and instinctive. Who is it, Rob?
What is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Wrong.
I didn't think so. I was like, I felt good about it until I was looking at the question and saw the word book.
Yeah, book kind of threw up.
Then I was kind of like, all right, well, that's not right, but I'm already here, so.
Miss Valor, what are we doing?
I don't know.
This was a tough one.
What is Psycho?
That is incorrect.
It.
Chapter 1 and 2, Mr. Skarsgård.
Could read.
I didn't know he could act either and put process into a role. That's mean. He can act. He's just bad it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's mean.
That may have been more of a directing problem than him anyway.
Yeah, possibly so. Yeah, that's very true. Very true. Kat, where are we going?
Let's do Slashers for 400.
Slashes for 400. Director said the shooting location for Sydney Mines was chosen because of its rustic appearance. Locals found out that a movie was being shot there and spent $50,000 to have it painted and cleaned. This obviously diminished the reason that the production wanted to film in that location in the first place. So the director said that $75,000 of the film's budget was made to retrash the mine and make it all dingy and shit again. What movie was this, Kat?
Sorry, buzzing in to stop the music. What is My Bloody Valentine?
My Bloody Valentine happens to be correct.
That was the only thing I could think of that took place inside a mine.
Inside a damn mine.
Novelization coming soon.
Yeah. Awesome movie. But that's got to suck, though. They had to have gotten there and been like, what the fuck is it all clean and nice for? We wanted it because it was shitty. Kat, where are we going?
Let's do horror comedy for 400.
Comedy 400. The script for this early 2000s horror comedy is actually a combination of two scripts Dimension bought in 1998. First one is titled Last Summer I Screamed Because Halloween Fell on Friday the 13th. And the second title was Scream If You Know What I Did Last Halloween. What movie combination these scripts?
Wow. Is that, what is Scary Movie?
That is correct. Scary Movie, which I find phenomenal and Rob Humphrey hates. Scary Movie is great.
I don't hate it. It's just not that good.
It's hysterical. The second one is, I can't believe. Kat, where are we going? You don't know what's good.
At the risk of losing the streak, I'll stick with Paranormal for 400.
When this paranormal film originally released in the UK, a number of town councils imposed a complete ban on the showing of the film. This led to a bizarre spectacle of blank bus trips where travel companies organized buses to take groups to the nearest town where the film was showing. What movie made them do that?
Oh, wow. I have no idea.
Are you passing or are you guessing?
I'll pass.
All right, Mr. Humphrey.
Oh, and I'll set the thing up, I guess, also.
Bob, you got a guess for this one or are you passing?
Hold on, I was muted. I was guessing.
Oh.
What is The Conjuring?
The Conjuring? What the hell is wrong with you? No, The Exorcist.
The Exorcist, really?
Oh.
The Conjuring.
I don't know. The fuck I know.
Jump scares don't get movies banned. Come on.
They ban all kinds of stuff in the UK.
Yeah. Do they?
So yeah.
Let's go with slashers for 500, please.
In this slasher film, which was shot in 40 days, at the very end of the movie, the phone rings 13 times.
What is Black Christmas?
You son of a bitch bastard, you. That is correct. Black Christmas, 1974. You knew the phone ring thing, huh?
Yeah.
I thought that was too high. I almost took that out. I was like, maybe they'll know this little fact, though. Damn.
Yeah, I've seen the movie.
But I did, too. I didn't count the rings.
I didn't either, but I know the phone ring, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. I thought the 40-day thing might have, I don't know. Rob, where are we going?
Horror comedy, 500, please.
Okay. This horror comedy, which was at one point shelved due to the studio's bankruptcy, many of the scenes that take place in the control room were shot on location in an actual office building. The production team had to shoot many of those scenes at night when the location was vacant.
What is Cabin in the Woods?
You are some bitch. Why is Cabin in the Woods? Did not like this movie at all.
I'll let Cat handle
that. Fun.
That does got to suck. Like, you got to wait till, imagine like the people who came in the next day, if there was shit like a unicorn horn or something. Who knows what they left behind? Where are we going, Rob? Three more.
Universal Monsters for 500.
The director of this
that's
late.
Not what I said, but okay.
Oh, fuck me in the butt. I'm
that's
sorry.
Fine. We'll all run right. with this.
We're wrong with it. Director of this late 80s remake got the idea to set this film in a former insane asylum when he was filming the episode of Tales from the Crypt in 1989. Tales from the Crypt was filmed in the former asylum, and he noticed that the crew members were running scared out of the basement, not wanting to film there. What is it going to be, Rob?
What is, I don't know, what is Psycho?
That is incorrect.
I didn't think so, but I couldn't Psycho. Think of anything else.
You just like that Psycho.
I was trying to think of a late 90s remake, and I couldn't think of anything.
You were thinking of Vince Vaughn and his chest hairs. Kat, you know this one?
What is House on Haunted Hill?
Bada boom.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, those shitty remakes came out around that time.
Hey, hey, hey.
Oh,
Ooh.
Oh,
remind me
that
I have to say something, but I want to do it on the normal episode regarding House on Haunted Hill.
Uh-oh. Okay.
The remake.
How the fuck am I going to remember that?
I don't know, but okay. I've been trying to remember to say this for 3 weeks, maybe a month now, and I always forget to mention it, so I want to try to remember.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's an unprecedented event for the show.
Oh.
No.
I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Kat, where are we going here?
Let's do Universal Monsters for 500.
Okay. In this 1922 film was an illegal and unauthorized adaptation of Bram Stoker's Dracula. Stoker's heirs sued over the film, and a court ruling ordered that all copies be destroyed. However, this film subsequently surfaced in other countries, became regarded as an international and influential masterpiece of cinema. Kat, what was it?
I feel like this is way too easy. What is Bram Stoker's Dracula? Didn't that come out in 1992?
No, that is incorrect.
Okay.
Rob, you got a guess?
What is Nosferatu?
That is correct. The old Nosferatu.
Oh, 1920. I read 1992. I'm sorry. I'm dumb.
Well, damn. All right. Well, Rob got his Universal Monsters for 500 after
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
All right, Rob. This is Rob's up, and this one's for fun. We got the last one.
It's the only last one on the board, so let's go with the paranormal for 500, please.
This paranormal film, real human skeletons were used in the swimming pool scene since the crew decided it would be too complicated and expensive to get fake ones. How cheaper skeletons. Joe Beth was not made aware of this until after the scene was finished.
What is Poltergeist?
What is Poltergeist? You know your shit, Mr. Humphrey. Poltergeist, 1982. Well, there we go. That's Jackie. Rob, unfortunately, is the winner. Kat, how'd you let that happen? Oh, wait a minute. I forgot I fucking did this. We have a final Jeopardy thing. I forgot about this part of the game, so we can't.
I don't
wager.
Think we need to go into.
Well, you can wager an amount.
Oh, okay.
Kat don't watch Jeopardy.
I don't watch it. It's been a long time since I've seen Jeopardy.
All right. Well, here's your question. This is, you guys can wager an amount. Anyone who's not familiar with Jeopardy, like Kat, these guys can wager their amounts. Downside is, if Rob's not too sure, he can only wager, you know, a little bit here and there, and it won't make a difference. We'll see how big of balls Mr. Humphrey got. The question is, how many total kills does Jason Voorhees have throughout all his films, not counting the SS Lazarus sinking and the Solaris space station?
How long do I have to wager?
You can wager as much. You can wager as much money as you got on here.
How long do I have to do math is the question.
Well, we got time. We got time.
All right.
I could sit here and do the boo, boo, boo if you guys want, but.
I think I screwed up, but I don't know.
Okay.
I entered my wager and now it just says wait for the winner. I don't know what the fuck that means.
Well, we got to wait. Oh, you did it.
Because I didn't put in a guess for the number of kills.
Oh, yeah. Was there a place to do that? I didn't see.
I did the same thing.
I did the same thing.
Sweet.
All right. Well, I'll do the math. God forbid. I don't know how this is going to go, but I'll do it. So we'll just, whenever you guys are ready, let me know. I'll do it.
I have a guess.
Okay. All right. So
Kat, I have a guess as well, but I don't see where to enter my guess.
All right. Well, you'll tell your guess to me. You enter it in me. Good luck. Oi. Rob, what's your guess, Rob?
207.
Okay.
What? How do I do it?
You got to wait. Tell me how much you're throwing on the line here.
I already entered that. I just 500.
Just 500. Okay. So what's your guess?
217.
217. Okay. Kat?
I went all in.
Okay.
Because I've lost.
Okay.
So,
what's your guess, Kat?
My guess is 163.
Well, according to GameSpot.com, Jason Voorhees has killed 164 people.
Oh, so, God damn it.
Cat Valore is the winner.
I'm glad 4, I won, 000. But it's annoying that I was one off.
You were one off. Holy shit, Rob, you were overtaken in Final Jeopardy.
I know. It happens sometimes.
It happens.
When I was working for Blood Binge, we ended up axing it like right before the channel was cut, shit. But we used to have like a kill count feature. So I used to have to tally up all those kills.
Yeah, I thought I had read
and
an
I was
article.
One off.
Was, I thought I had read an article where it was 217 for some reason, but I don't fucking know.
I remember reading an article somewhere and it counted the like space station or something.
No, maybe.
Or something like that. I don't know. I don't know. But that holy shit, what a fucking turn of events here on slasher horror, whatever the fuck Jeopardy is that we got going on.
Yep.
Wow. Mr. Humphrey overtaken by Croc Band. By the way, yeah, these are some awesome names here. We didn't tell everybody the names. Rob, you didn't tweet them out publicly, did you, the Crocs?
No.
All right. Well, Rob got some ugly ass Crocs. And
they are awesome. They're not ugly.
Disgusting.
Well.
Disgusting.
They're terrible.
I'm going to wear them in Chicago. I'm probably going to be on the news as the most stylish man in Chicago.
I don't think so.
You're wearing them on vacation?
Probably. I mean, when else do you wear Crocs, man? There's vacation shoes.
Holy shit.
Get out there. It gets hot. My feet got to breathe.
And recording shoes, evidently.
That's more just to really irritate Mikey.
I don't even know what to say to you. Those are the most disgusting things I've ever seen.
They are awesome.
And they're on your feet.
They're tie-dye. They're Crocs. They're nice and bright. So everybody can really see them.
You can see them from the moon. Fucking things. Jesus Christ. All right. So that's it for Horror Jeopardy. Maybe this will be a mainstay.
Maybe.
And I did spend $5 on this fucking website. So it's going
to
be.
So now it has to be a mainstay.
Until I feel I got my $5 worth, it's going to be around. But I thought it was fun, though.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it was a good time. Congratulations to me. I'm the real winner of this show.
You literally lost. It's 4,400 to 3,800.
I know, but still I won. Isn't that funny how that works?
Oh, actually, no. It's 3,300 because you lost your 500.
I know, but I've got the Crocs and nobody else does, so I'm the winner.
These I don't feel like a winner. I got so fucking close.
These are the shoes of champions.
Those are the shoes of lonely, lonely men who have lotion next to their desk. That's the shoes.
You've been spying on me?
Oh, God, no.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.